A very brief outline. What is this all about? What are we trying to say? To put it plainly, the Christian church of today has inherited biblically wrong concepts, definitions, and functions of ministry, authority, and church operation. We began many years ago studying what the New Testament says about ministry. What is ministry? The word means to serve others. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 12, it's an area of scripture that we very much encourage you to read and study. In these verses, the Bible stresses that the ministry gifts, the gifts of Christ, the anointings, are in all and through all of us, because God is in all and through all of us. These are gifts that are given unto every one of us. Furthermore, these anointings, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, are meant to work together to edify the body, to build up the church. God's kingdom, meaning to add to, in other words, to get people saved. So they're very important gifts. They're very necessary for God to work in the earth. So think about this. Is this what your church looks like functionally? In our experience, church has one minister, usually called a pastor. Pastor is the ministry gift that is least mentioned in the New Testament, translated only once. The root word for apostle is mentioned over 300 times in the New Testament. That in itself says something. The Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 says the priority of church ministry should be first apostles, secondarily prophets, and thirdly teachers. First, or primarily, is what the Greek word means, apostles. Primarily apostles. Is this what your church looks like? Do we ever study apostles, apostolic ministry? Teaching is meant to be the least important gift. Is this so? Do churches allow everyone to minister? We then see that there are many examples in the Bible that show us how the church functioned. Small groups praying in the Holy Spirit, receiving God's instructions, and quickly carrying out His commands in these small groups. Ministry was quick and simple service to fulfill God's will, and not authority over others. The second area that the Lord had us study was authority. And the Bible says that ministry is not authority over others. Many times Jesus said this, particularly Luke chapter 22, verses 25 to 29, Mark chapter 10, verse 42 to 45, and Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 26. Study those verses for yourself also. Look at those verses and see if it isn't the case that Jesus told us not to exercise authority one over another among ourselves. Does our common church service live up to this? Throughout our studies, we often say that the people in our churches today are good, kind, loving, gifted, talented, anointed, and intelligent people. But all the people, whether they are at the back row of the church or behind the pulpit, they're all good people. Yet we have a church format that gives authority to one person. We have a church format that consists of a repetitive ritual that emphasizes the ministry of one person over all the others. Why? Well, our fourth area of study that the Lord had us do, besides ministry, authority, and church operation, was to study Christian history. And again, we encourage you to do this. What we hope to do is just to encourage you to look into these areas of study. What we find in Christian history is that far back in the past, perhaps 1,700 or more years ago, people who lived under extraordinary circumstances drastically reformed the operational plan of the church. Do you study history in your church? A very important revelation is that the traditional format for Christian meeting, the church service, which was originated many, many years ago, perhaps more than 1,700 years ago, is actually based on Old Covenant principles. Let's see if we can understand this quickly. In the Old Covenant, Israel had to, in order to get their sin forgiven, build a big building. It was called the House of God, the sanctuary. They had to bring in offerings. Tithe was the amount of this offering. They entered by a gates of praise and a court of worship. So the format for the meeting in this building was first comes praise and worship. They had to function under the authority of the Levitical priest, also known as the pastors of Israel. The vast majority of the people of Israel were the non-ministerial tribes, often referred to as the congregation. The term congregation is only used in the Old Testament. These certainly are the biblical typologies that are the basis for Christian function. From this repetitive format comes our concept of ministerial authority. In the Old Covenant, the Levites did have authority from God to be the ministers in the temple. But do we realize that these Old Covenant examples are part of sacrificial law, something the New Testament says that Jesus fulfilled? Do we realize that the New Testament clearly and specifically either annuls or redefines these functions? For example, the book of Hebrews tells us simply that the Levitical priesthood is done away with in the New Covenant. The priesthood is meant to be in all believers. Again, ministry in all, not authority over others. Do we realize that historically, these Old Covenant types were brought into the church function in a time when the church did not even fully possess the New Testament? They were enforced by Roman emperors and Protestant kings throughout history. Historically, the church was used to govern people, to rule over others. Do you think this is correct? Should we still be following the traditions of Roman emperors and Dark Ages popes and kings, Protestant kings who lived hundreds of years ago? Unfortunately, we have some Bible translations that date back to those times, and that's why certain terms have been written into the New Testament, buzzwords that make it seem the Christian is meant to submit to authority. Words like rulership and over and under are used in the Bible. And if you study those words, and we do throughout this studies, you'll find that these Greek words really are terms that are not what we think they are. They're not about authority over others. They're really about cooperation and working together as equals. We study these small words and phrases, and they're often used to enforce the existing system of church operation, a system that is authoritarian in nature and money-centered. It's a system that has for centuries omitted apostleship and so omitted the gospel function. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, Jesus outlined his mission. Let me just read that for you, because I believe this is the mission that Jesus had, and I believe this is the mission the church and the Bible had, and I believe we as Christians should simply take on this mission to the best of our ability. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to bring deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus said his mission was to bring a gospel, good news of salvation, healing, and deliverance. This message was brought to the poor, the brokenhearted, the captive. But as part of this gospel, he said he would set at liberty. The Greek here is apostolic liberty. What does this mean? Jesus' first priority was to operate in apostleship, to work in a small group, a group of equals. He clearly said he ministered with others, and he did not exercise authority over others. He told us to do the same and to make this gospel the purpose by which we function. Are we truly doing that in our common church function and church service? Jesus said he did nothing of himself but followed the commands of the Father in heaven. So his operational plan was a small group of equals following the authority of a leader who was not physically present. After Jesus' death and resurrection, he then stated that all authority had been given to him. He then sat down at the right hand of the Father, the position of authority, to be the head of the church, the only potentate of the church, as it says in 1 Timothy 6:15, the only one who is supposed to have authority over us, you and me, the church, his body in the earth. That's the way the church is supposed to work. We're supposed to follow Jesus together as equals. Do we do that in church? Do we take that on as a goal? I believe many churches, all churches, feel those things in their heart. We feel love toward one another. We feel fellowship. We feel brotherly love between us. But are we functioning in a real way with that love to reach out to the world with the gospel? Are we recognizing and releasing and encouraging the gifts of every believer? There's a way to do it. It's not impossible. These are imperfect studies that I've made by an imperfect and sinful person, because that's who I am. All that I've attempted to do is to inspire you to study these subjects and perhaps change, perhaps to realize that you are the church when you follow Jesus' authority, when you function in the gospel with other believers. That's the true biblical functioning of the church, and I believe the church needs to stop its endless parade and ritual and start treating one another as true brothers and sisters. Start functioning together with one another in the gospel and in love. God bless you.